Daf Mem He. So the Mishnah starts off saying that three people that are eating bread can join together to form a zimun, and it goes through a list of people that can be part of this mezumin, and it says that someone who ate produce that, there's a suffix, they're not sure if they took off all the mice or all the tithes of this food or not, then you can't eat this on a rabbanon level until you take off all the maestros that you have to take off. Or if someone ate food that they totally took off all the maestros from, or there was a waiter there who ate a kazayas amount of bread, or a kusi. A kusi is basically someone that we're not really sure if they converted or not and what's the deal with them. So they have a special category. And so if a kusi ate with them, so any of those people that ate any of those food are eligible to join and join in on a zimun. But someone who ate food that they didn't take off maaser from, or the waiter who ate less than a kazayas of bread, or a non-Jew cannot be part of a zimun. And we said, nashim avadim ktanim, women, slaves, and minors don't join a zimun with these people. And we said, what's the minimum amount of food that you could say a zimun over? The Tana Kama says a kazayas, and Rabbi Yehuda says a kabetza, an eggs amount. The Gemara says, how do we learn zimun? Where do we learn that we need a zimun from? Rav Asi says the pasuk of let us praise Hashem together. Rabbi Abahu says we should ascribe greatness to Hashem, both in the plural form, showing that we get together in a plural zimun. Rav Hanan bar Abba says that we learn that someone who answers Amen cannot be louder than the person making the bracha from the pasuk that says praise Hashem together, seemingly that their voices should be the same volume. Rav Shimon ben Pazi says that the translator of the Torah can't be louder than the Torah reader, because the pasuk says that Moshe spoke and Hashem responded with voice. What does the voice mean? It means that Hashem responded in an equal voice to Moshe so that Moshe would be able to be very loud, so Hashem was very loud, so that Moshe could also be very loud. The Braisa says that the translator can't be louder than the reader, and if the translator can't be that loud, then the reader should quiet down. The next part of the Mishnah had said that the Gemara asks, two people that are making a zimun, how does that work? Rabbi Yochanan versus Rav. One says that two people are eligible to make a zimun together, and one says that two people cannot make a zimun together. But we bring in a Mishnah that says that three people are required to join a zimun, and this implies that two are not. So we answered, yeah, that Mishnah is talking about when you have the obligation to join in a zimun, when you're chayav to join a zimun. Rabbi Yochanan and Rav are talking about just if they can or if they can't. So we bring in a braisa that says three people have to join a zimun, and one of them can't, you know, they can't say it individually, and one of them leave early. So this implies that if two people are allowed to say a zimun, then one person should be allowed to leave. So we answer, when they're originally on the chayav level, they're obligated to, they're not going to want to lower it to the optional level by getting rid of one of the people. So we bring in another braisa, which says that a waiter who's waiting on two people can eat with them even without permission. However, a waiter waiting on three needs their permission. So this seems to imply that two would want the waiter to eat with them because then they can form a zimun, but three would not want them to because they already have a zimun. So we answered, no, two obviously would still want the waiter to eat with them, because even though the two can make a zimun on their own, they would still rather have a zimun on a chayav level where they're obligated to. So we brought in the case in our Mishnah, we brought in a case of women and slaves that they can make a zimun by themselves. And the other clause in that braisa says that women, slaves, and minors together cannot form a zimun, even if they want to. So we said that for a zimun, multiple women are the same as two men, meaning that both women and two men have no obligation in zimun. However, we still allow the women to. And this seems to say that even when you're not obligated in the zimun, you still can make a zimun. So we answered, though, it's different by three women because they're able to fulfill the pasuk of let's declare Hashem's praises because they're multiple people. However, by two men, that's less than the minimum amount, and that's too few. However, we say if it's all about the amount of people, why can't women, slaves, and minors together, who are more than three people, make a zimun? And we answer because this meal is pritzos. It can lead to scandalous things. We don't want, you know, illicit relations happening between the women and the slaves and the children and all things like that. Rav says that two can't. We want to say that Rav is the one who said that two people can't join in a zimun, because we weren't sure if it was Rav or Rav Yochanan. So let's try to say that it's Rav. Why? Because Rav says that three people who ate together and one of them leaves, the two of them can call out to him and he can join the zimun. So this seems to imply that the only reason that they can have a zimun is because the third person was included. However, without that third person, they would not have a zimun. And we answered, no, Rav was, it's not really Rav. This is not necessarily Rav, because Rav is only saying to include that guy so that they would have a chayav level mezumin. So we said, all right, so maybe it's Rabbi Yochanan who says that you can't have a zimun with two people, because he says that if you have two people together, one of them can be motzi and can fulfill the obligation for another person. And he said that's obvious, because we have a Mishnah that teaches that just by listening, you'd be yotzei another person. So why do we need Rabbi Yochanan to teach us that one person can say benching for another person? So Rabbi Zeira answers, that's not what Rabbi Yochanan is teaching us. He's teaching us that by two people, they don't say a zimun. So we conclude that, yeah, Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says that two people cannot say a zimun together. Rabbi Rav Huna said to Rav Huna, but in Eretz Yisrael, they say that two people are allowed to join in a mezumin. And if it's coming from Eretz Yisrael, that would seem like it's coming from Rabbi Yochanan, who is from Eretz Yisrael. So it seems to be that Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is that two people can join in a mezumin. So we answer, no, that was really Rav before he went back to Bavel. Rav says that three people that are eating together, one went out to the market, the two of them can call after him and he can join. Abai says this is only when he's close enough to answer. Marzutra says this is only when you have a zimun of three people, but by 10 people you have to wait until they all come back. Rav Ashi questions this and he says, what are you talking about? Two people is clearly not three, however 9 looks like 10, so you should be able to do it with 9. But the halacha still follows Marzutra because we need 10 people to say Hashem's name. Abai says that two people who eat, they should bench separately. And we have a braisa that says that two people that are together, it's better for them to bench separately when both of them are talmidei chachamim, when they both know the benching. However, if there's one person who knows the benching and one person who's ignorant, the talmid chacham who knows the benching should say it aloud for the ignorant person so that he can be yotzei benching, so he can fulfill benching. Rava says that three people who eat together, two of them can interrupt the meal to make a zimun. The two people could say, we're going to start the mezumin now, and they have to force the one person to answer the zimun. However, if three people are eating and one of them is ready to make the mezumin and bench, he can't force the two people to start the mezumin. However, we said, what are you talking about that two can force one, but one can't force two? Rav Papa was eating with two other people. One of them was his son, and his son was ready to bench. Rav Papa and the other person weren't, but Rav Papa stopped his meal for his son, Abba Mar. So no, we answered, Rav Papa was showing extra honor to his son, and he was going above the letter of the law, and that's not a proof. Yehuda bar Maremar and Mar bar of Ashi and of Acham Edifti were all eating bread together, and they determined that when we said that one person should make a mezumin, that's only when he's distinguished above the others. However, in the case of the three of them, they were all on equal level. They were all on an equal level, and there was no distinguished person among them, so they all benched to themselves. When they came to Maremar, he said, you are yotzei, you fulfilled your obligation for benching. However, you did not fulfill your obligation for a mezumin, and we know that you can't do a mezumin retroactively, so you didn't fulfill your obligation for that. So in the case of someone who joined three people that were eating and they were just starting a mezumin, Rav Zvid says that that person, though he can't answer a normal mezumin because he wasn't part of the zimun, he should answer Baruch Umvorach. And Rav Papa says he should answer Amen. And we said they're not actually arguing. We said Rav Zvid is saying that you should say Baruch Umvorach after you hear Baruch Shachanu Mishalo. And Rav Papa is saying you should say Amen after you hear Baruch Shachanu Mishalo Uvtuvo Chayinu. So we have a braisa that says that you should answer Amen after your own bracha, that's a good thing. However, we have another braisa which says it's not a good thing to answer Amen after your own bracha. So we reconciled the two braisas by saying that you should say Amen after Uvnei Yushalayim. However, by all other brachos, you should not say Amen after your bracha. And Abaye would say Amen aloud after Uvnei, so that people that were working and they had to go, they would know that the main part of benching was over. However, Rav Ashi, because up to Uvnei is the deoraisa, the Torah level benching, afterwards is not the Torah level benching. Rav Ashi, however, would say the Amen after Uvnei quietly so that people would not think that the rest of benching is not important and thus come to degrade it. Rav Ashi wanted everyone to think, oh, all of benching is important. Shkayach.